is his faithfulness to you and I. Amen. Today, as we celebrate this Easter Sunday morning, about the risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, each one of us that came in this morning, we probably came from different avenues, different last weeks. How many of you here this morning are glad that last week is last week? This is a new day. And I pray that regardless of how that we have come together here today to worship, I pray that today that you and I will leave today following the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, following in His steps. This morning we're going to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For those that are watching this morning, I pray that you as well will continue, if you're not already, that you will follow Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Father in heaven, as we come before You, holy and just God, loving us so much that You sent Your only Son. Holy Spirit, You're here in our presence this morning. Draw us to a closer walk with You, to a personal relationship with You. And may we come and listen and hear and obey, leaving radically changed because of an experience You hear today. We pray that in the name of Jesus, amen. You and I today have gathered to worship and to praise the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. Praise God. We're going to look at some sights that Jesus was here in just a few moments. But as we do, I want you to know this as we begin this morning. On Friday there was pain, there was suffering, there was injustice, and there was bleeding. On Saturday, there was great loss, there was grief, and there was misery. But then came Sunday. Hello? Then came Sunday. On Sunday, joy, celebration, and victory over death, hell, and the grave. Praise be to God, what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves you and me. The sights in life, the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the places that Jesus walked, life that He lived, where He walked through Golgotha, the place of the skull, where He died on the cross, and where He rose again from the grave, is very real. And I want you to know that it is very real. That grave is still empty, okay? They took that pretty serious back then. They wouldn't have made a mistake. He's not there. And I don't want us to take a look at that. Through a church that is above it now, this is the place where the angel spoke to the Virgin Mary about the place that she was going to take on Jesus Christ as child. This is the very place, even though there's a church above it. This is the place where the angel spoke to Mary. The next slide you're going to see is the house where Jesus Christ was raised. This is where Jesus was raised. This was His home. The next slide you're going to see is the Sea of Galilee, where there are many accounts of Jesus, where He taught His disciples and taught many. The next slide you're going to see is the church of loaves and fish, Remember the little boy's sack lunch? Hello? Anybody? That God blessed and fed all the people? The next slide you're going to see is the Mount of Olives in Gethsemane. This is where Jesus prayed. This is the garden. This is where he prayed. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Even after Jesus had told Peter that he would deny him three times, he did deny Jesus. I didn't know you. Well, through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, when he arose from the grave, he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you agape love me?" And maybe Jesus is asking you and I this morning, "Do you love me? Do you really? Do you really love me? Unconditionally? Will you follow me? Do you love me?" The first century street. This street was fully uncovered in the mid-1990s and it dates decades before the city's destruction by the Roman Empire in AD 70. The streets were where Jesus walked to the temple. Some people have walked that and had a radical change in experience. Linda, our church secretary, gave me some of these pictures where she walked just several months ago. These are real. And Jesus did carry that cross for you and I. Though some 90 pounds to 120 pounds, Jesus carried that cross, suffered and bled for you and I. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I can have remission of our sins. The tomb remains empty today. And Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and I. Praise be to God for interceding for you and I. There is power in his resurrection, and it's available to you today. That same power where Jesus rose from the grave and had victory over death, hell, and the grave, that same power is available to you and I. Praise be to God. There's power in the resurrection. Jesus Christ proved that he is God in flesh. Jesus Christ modeled and left an example for you and I to live a life more abundantly. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he left us an example that you and I should walk in it as well. The God that created all things, think about this. The worst of worst days that could possibly take place, he turned to be more the victory that we've never ever known before. The greatest victory of all times. He took the worst and the greatest victory of all times. Now you and I, we go through this life journey. And that's why we come to church, is to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to love one another, to encourage each other, to learn from one another, and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. But there is times in our life and our journey that we go through suffering. Amen? Hello? Amen. Thank you. We go through times of loneliness. We go through times of loss. We've had great loss in our church recently and in our community. And sometimes we just get, quite honestly, we get confused about life, don't we? Are y'all different than me? Sometimes I just get confused about what life is coming at me and what I'm supposed to do. Y'all ever get confused? Two of you. Praise God. We'll talk later. Also in life, we go through pain. We go through tragedy. And when those things take place, we may ask ourselves, how am I going to handle this situation in my life? What am I supposed to do? Well, I believe Jesus left us a wonderful example to go by. here are some examples of what Jesus left behind for us. Jesus had a favorite place to pray. I think you and I should have a favorite place to pray. Just get alone with Him. And say, God, this is our appointment. I want to get alone with You. I want to listen to You. I want to pray. And I think that Jesus had a specific place that He loved to get alone and just pray. And I think that was at the Mount of Olives at Gethsemane. I think He went there often and prayed. But when we gather, we're supposed to pray for one another. Remember what He said to the disciples? Stay and pray. What did they do? What did they do? They went to sleep. He come back to them and said, guys, wait. Please pray. We all get tired. We all need rest. But we also need to pray for one another. Lift each other up. Those that are close to you, pray with you and for you. Family and friends that have your best interest in mind, pray for you and encourage you. Friends that you just share life with, to get together with that small group of people and pray together. That's what Jesus left our example to do. He also said, not my will, Father, but Yours be done. Not my agenda, but Your plan, God. We should do the same. Father, I may not like this, but if this be Your will, let it be done. Not my agenda, but Yours be done, God. You know that God has all power, and He has the master plan for your life. Take your pain to Him. Take your confusion to Him. Take your suffering and loss and loneliness to Him. And trust His plans, because He will provide. He's not slack in His promises. He will give you what you need when you need it and how much you need it. He's a great God. And He loves you. He's not against you. He's for you. And then He wants us to search the gospel. He wants us to look into the gospel good news. How that the gospel can change your life. When you get into the gospel and you listen to God and you obey Him. Because His plans are better than my plans. I want to find out His plans. How about you? I want to know what He wants me to do. Because He has greater plans than I do. He says, follow in His steps. That's kind of like abiding in Him. Staying close to Him, listening to Him, reading the gospel and finding out what He wants for you. Because just as He said, for even hereunto you're called. God died on the cross and rose again from the grave victorious for all of us. Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us is righteous, not one. We don't have it all together. God does love us and He has a plan for us. He's called us to that. He suffered for us, leaving us the example that we should follow in His steps. We should remember that on Friday there was pain and there was suffering, injustice, and bleeding. Have many of you went through that same thing? Pain and suffering and injustice? Well, there's Saturday that comes, and that's the loss and the grief and the misery. But I want you to know that if you'll abide in Christ, that He'll bring forth much fruit, for without Him you can't do nothing. So if you lean to the cross and lean into Christ through your suffering, through your pain, through all those miseries, through the loss and all those things, if you will lean into Him and say, God, I want You to show me, I want You to tell me and be with me, fill me with the Spirit that I may follow in Your steps, I want to do what You want me to do. I desire that the Holy Spirit fills me up, that I can fulfill what your plan is for me, that I can proclaim that my God is greater than all the things in this world, that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I want to be a testimony for you through the suffering, through the loss, because I know that Sunday's on the way. I know that joy's on the way. I know that victory's on the way. And I want to trust you through it, Lord, because I know that you had victory and the grave is still empty and you're at the right hand interceding on my behalf, and you are still God, and you still love me, and you still have plans for me. So I'm going to seek and follow you all the way to Sunday, because there is victory. There is joy. There is where Jesus will celebrate with you and I. Praise be to God for that day. Excuse me. Right now, this very Easter Sunday morning, would you be willing to ask God, God, what would you want me to do on this Easter Sunday, 2019, the day that separated B.C. from A.D.? What do you want me to do? Some of you know about Jesus. You go to church, but you don't know Jesus. If you were standing before Christ right now, and He asked you this question, why should I let you into my heaven? How would you respond? I'm going to share with you, quite honestly, this morning, if you were standing before a holy and just God and He asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? And you responded with a works answer. I went to church, I read my Bible a couple of times, I helped some elderly person, I gave some things. If you give a works answer, according to the Scriptures, your destiny is eternal hell separated from God. I love you so much, I'm not going to tell you anything that's wrong based on the Scripture. If you're saying anything of a works answer to that question, you're not going to heaven. He'll simply say, depart from me, I never knew you. But if you said, I realize that I'm a sinner, separated from you because of that, I do believe you died on the cross for my sins, and by your blood that can cover my sins, I believe you arose from the grave. And I want to place my faith and trust in you as my Lord and Savior and confess Him. Then you'll hear the words, enter in. Let's go celebrate for eternity. There's only two choices. You can't idly sit in the middle. Because if you know Christ and Christ entered into your life, you're not the same. Amen? You're not the same. Your life has changed. Because when Christ lives inside of you, when you're doing something wrong, there's something inside going, you need to change and repent and turn. There's something you're supposed to be doing. He'll get your attention. The Holy Spirit will pour you and say, you shouldn't do this. You should move here. God speaks to you that way and wants you to move close to Him. Follow His plans. Follow in His steps. There's joy and celebration and victory in Jesus Christ. Examine your life today. Holy Spirit may be drawing you to a personal relationship with Him where you place your faith and trust in Him. I'm going to ask you just to, if you would, to stand. And as you stand, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. This morning, it is no accident that you are here. You might have different motives or different reasons for being here, but I want you to know that God knowed
that you were going to be here this morning in this place. And God spoke to you through His Word and through His Spirit this morning about something that's going on in your life you need to talk to Him about. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's a return to that relationship with Him that you're going to have to ask forgiveness for and ask Him to forgive you and turn back to Him. Please examine yourself this morning and see what God has spoken to you about. We're going to give an invitation here in just a moment. It's for God's glory, and He's the one that's calling. How will you respond? Father in heaven, be glorified, be honored, and move on our hearts in the way that you want and desire for us, that we can follow in your steps. In Jesus' name I pray.